Hallelujah. Reading in the book of Luke, chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. Welcome to you. We celebrate this great, great, great occasion. The greatest of all Christian holidays. And behold, two of them went that same day, Luke 24, 13, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlong. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were held that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? If I would have a paraphrasal there, I would say, and are so sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, even calls their name, answering, said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. And you catch a glimpse of their blues in the 21st verse. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, and they were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. But let me paraphrase again. You know how emotional women are. They get carried away. All women are angels. They're always up in the air harping about something. You know, that's the attitude sometimes folks take, you know. And certain of them which were with us went in the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. And then they had second thoughts about what the women had said. Amazing, you know, how God used women first to herald the resurrection. Isn't that a sight? It was a woman that got us into this message as well to help us get it out of it. Amen. Yeah. Eve ate us out of house and home. Amen. And so God said it'd be the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent. Amen. And then he said to them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them the scriptures. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto a village where they went and made as though they would have gone farther. He made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave to them. And then it happened. Their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Where'd he go? He was right there. And he's gone again. Amen. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Didn't even stay all night. Headed back to Jerusalem. And found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them breaking bread. Back to the 21st verse. But we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. I like to preach for a while on when everything falls apart for good people. And sometimes it does.
Right.
For the best of people.
Right.
I like to talk about when the world crumbles for the best people in the world. Amen. Sometimes we think it ought not so to be, but reality tells us it is. It's a reality. It happens. But take courage this morning. When your world falls apart, you may be closer to resurrection than you think.
Right.
When your world falls apart, you may be closer to Pentecost than you think. There were only 40 days from Pentecost.
Right.
Praise God.
Right.
Amen. It was just about to become a reality to them. Amen. Or 50 days thereabout. Praise God. Less than 2 months, they would have the greatest revival this world has ever known. In less than 2 months, the fire would start in Jerusalem that would burn around the world. But right now, they're singing the blues. What do you do when your world falls apart? These were good men. Bible said disciples. They had left all to follow Christ. And now they've been disappointed. Amen. Now he's dead. Now he's gone, and this is the third day, and it don't look like anything's happened. And why are you so sad, fellas? Don't you know that it's Sunday? Don't you know it's the Sabbath day? Don't you know it's the first Easter, and you ought to be happy? Amen. But their world had fallen apart. What do you do when your world falls apart and you're a child of God? L.B. Bridgers came home from revival to find that his house had burned and his wife and children had perished in the flame. That preacher walked through the ashes of the fire. Amen. That had consumed his home and his family, and drenched with tears and grief, God swept over him with a wave of comfort, and the words came to him, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my ever longing, keeps me happy as I go. If you're not careful, you'll pass by number 85 in this old Assembly of God songbook, and it'll be just like another little church ditty to you, but you drench it with the tears of L.B. Bridgers, amen, walking through the ashes of his dead family Amen. You can sing it again. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low, "Fear not, I'm with thee. Peace be still." Keeps me singing in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. Amen. When some Christians' world fall apart, they write a new song and a better one. Amen. Sonny Holly, evangelist, a little boy was critically injured in an accident, and he lay in the hospital critical. They didn't know whether he would live or die. Amen. Sound me the key of D. Praise God. And in the midst of it all, God gave that preacher a song, Brother Dale. His footsteps many times have led to burning desert sands, and I have bowed beneath my load when I did not understand. I've even walked the valley flow with walls that reach the sky, but I've never seen a mountain quite this high. Lord, what a mountain this time, standing there to ride it. Oh, man, I come too far to turn back now. Thou must fall behind. He'll move that mountain or give me strength to climb. I'll tell you why men write songs like this. When their world falls apart, because you see, God knew in a few days I'd be driving across western Kentucky, and he wanted me to hear this song, and I didn't even know it, Brother Jones, but I'd be passing over this same rough precipice myself pretty soon. So he took my chariot wheels off, my tire blowed out just outside of Poplar Bluff, and I spent a half a day getting shot up with my 81 Oldsmobile and used up all my time to go to Arkansas. So I went back to see Dad one more time. Turning across the radio looking for a gospel song as I crossed the Boot Heel of Missouri, I found a strange voice singing this song. I'd never heard tell of him, never heard the song before, but God had a date for me with Lord, what a mountain this time. I didn't know it. That was a third week, fourth week in February, and it had turned spring prematurely. I didn't know it as I headed back home that my wife that August would be diagnosed with cancer, and they'd give her a 50-50 chance of living 5 years. And then I knew why God gave Sonny Holly a song when his world fell apart, so I could hear it, amen, when mine looked like it was falling apart. And so folks could hear me sing it from here to Romania. And so I was singing it in a city near Bucharest. And our interpreter was interpreting it for me a verse at a time, and he broke down and cried a little bit. I didn't know it, but his mother was laying dying and would die that same week. Amen. God gave me the song to take to him way over yonder in Romania. Praise God. He promised that never be load I could not bear. I've never faced a raging storm. I did not find him there. Now he has led me to this place. I will not question why. Though I've never, never seen a mountain quite this high. Help me sing it. Lord, what a mountain this time. Oh, standing there to try this heart of mine. I've come too far to turn back now. Now must fall behind. He's gonna move your mountain. I'll give you strength to climb. Praise him a little bit. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Though I've never, never traversed a valley just like this one. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The same was a perfect man and eschewed evil. I'm talking about when the world falls apart for the best people in the world. Overnight, with Job doing the best he could. And Job has his critics, but there's very few of his critics can come up to his record. Amen. God testified for Job. That's good enough for me. Hallelujah. God said, Satan, have you beheld my servant Job? A perfect man. Look at him. I got one. The devil sneered and he said, he's not serving you for nothing. You're paying him. Take away his pay and he'll quit. Amen. Take away everything he's got and Job will forget about God. A tear in his voice, God said, all right, you can take everything he's got, but he'll stand. Overnight, messenger after messenger came to tell him his children was dead, his cattle was gone, and what the thieves didn't do, death had done, and the fire had done. And Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be his holy name. Well, the convention was on again, and Lucifer was in amongst the sons of God, and God had a date with the devil that day. He said, did you see what he did? He held his integrity, even though everything was gone. But the devil said, yeah, you take away his hide. Take away his health. He'll curse you to your face. Amen. All right. You can take his health, but don't you touch his life. That's mine. Glory to God. You give your life to God, no matter how bad it gets, God can take that life and double and redouble it 1,000 times over and make it 100 times better. Praise God. Yeah, Job lost his health and scraped himself with a potsherd and cursed the day he was born, but he didn't curse God. When things fall apart for the best of men, amen, God may be getting ready to give you a song. Hallelujah. Things fell apart for me 50 years ago. Daddy was gone, living in a bad relationship. And Mom lost her will and her sanity. Became addicted to drugs and taunted by demons day and night. She imagined even her friends were enemies. And I could go out and preach quite a bit because Carl was there to take care of her, but she one day imagined that Carl was plotting against her and threw a pair of scissors at him. Scissors struck him in the chest, didn't hurt him much. But Carl left and went to live with Grandma. Now I'm the only one's left. My sister's married and live in Indiana. My brother's gone living with Grandma, and Dad is living in a bad relationship. I remember the day Doc Cooper told me, "I'm going to have to send your mom to state hospital for the mentally ill, Junior. She just wants to stay doped up all the time, and I can't help her." I found where Dad lived, and I told him what I was going to have to do. Sheriff Barker was my friend. He came. We told Mommy that we was taking her to the hospital for an examination and tests. She didn't know she wasn't coming back. The psychiatrist examined her and saw right away his schizophrenic tendencies. He didn't lose any time. Two big orderlies pulled her little ring off her hand, 10-cent ring kids had given her. Her watch and jammed it in my hand and dragged my mama down those dark, dismal corridors, crying with every breath, "Please don't leave me here. I want to go home with you." Amen. I went home to that empty house now, nobody but me. I fell across the bed and said, "God, give me a message that'll save men from the awful consequences of sin." I heard a song over a jukebox by Cowboy Copas. Amen. And Sister Bullard, Robbie Lee Bullard, heard it over the radio and wrote it down for me. It says, "I'd like to wake up some fine morning, the sun pouring into my room, and find with a new day that's dawning, a world without sorrow or gloom, a smile or a nod from each stranger, an offer of help I won't need, and all the sick folks out of danger, the sinner forgiven and free." Help me sing it. Oh, I'd like to wake up some fine morning and find everyone shaking hands and learn with a new day that's dawning of a peace that the world understands. I start singing that song. It's not a gospel song. It don't mention God one time, but it does mention sinners being set free. I turned it into a gospel song without changing the words and sung it all over the country. I sung it all over the Missouri, south of St. Louis, and it made a comeback in St. Louis. If I'd have had a record, Brother Croucher, I could have sold 1,000 of this song. Because God not only gave it to me when my world fell apart, I gave it to everybody I came in contact with. Hallelujah. Everywhere I went. Amen. I sung about it and told them about a mansion that Jesus had prepared for me. The poor and the old folks in new homes. A mansion, Jesus said, in a country where nobody begs. All the blind having new eyes to see with. Lord, the cripple with new arms and legs. Hallelujah. I'd like to wake up some fine morning and find everyone shaking hands. Then I'd learn with a new day that's dawning of a peace that the world understands. David had been anointed king some years now, but all he had seen as a result of his anointing and his date with destiny was the wrath of Saul running like a partridge. And finally, at last, the only way he could get away from him was to go down and live with the Philistines. He lived in a city called Ziklag, him and his whole army and both his wives. And after that drama with Achish about going to battle with him against Israel, David at least pretended he was ready to go, but Achish boys wouldn't let David go. They were afraid he might turn coat when come to fighting Jews. So they sent David back home. When he got there, he smelled the smoke in the distance. Ziklag was burned, and all their families and all their wives had been captured and taken in the spoils of war. Not only David had lost everything, Abinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, that woman was such a kindly spirit like David, to all his children, they were gone. His world had fell apart. Not only that, his men turned against him and threatened to stone him. You're to blame. You got us into this mess. Amen. As the Bible said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. God told him, pursue. You'll recover all. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. And David did. Outnumbered and outgunned, but glory to God, he had God. And the chariots of the Lord riding herd over him. And faith for the future. It's easy for us to look back now after the fact and say, why didn't they have more faith? Why didn't those two boys on the road to Emmaus sing that Sunday morning, that first Easter morning, instead of looking so sad and looking down to ground. They looked down to ground all the way to Emmaus. They didn't even know who Jesus was. Amen. Amen. But David came back victorious. God turned the captivity of Job. And you know what? He had twice as much as he ever had before. Hallelujah. His daughters was the most beautiful in the land. He got his children back. He got his cattle back. He got his houses and lands back. God gave it all back to him. Double praise God. Amen. You may be closer to victory than you think this morning. If you're dragging the bottom and you're about to lose everything, it looks like, or you've been devastated by some relationship or something that's happened in your life. And you may be good and godly. But remember, God takes Christians through trials to make men out of them. He takes Christians through hard tests to test their mettle. And he's always getting us ready for greater things when he takes us through the hard test, the hard trial. And with that faith that perseveres, holds on, overcomes, praise God. It'll be like when the Emmaus trio or Emmaus duet, amen, got to the house. Hallelujah. Trio, because Jesus was with them. Amen. That finally he asked the blessing on the food and their eyes were opened. It's him. It's him. And we didn't know it. Praise God. One reason Jesus appeared to the two men on the road to Emmaus, everybody else was hiding out. The disciples didn't know, but what the next knock on the door might be their death warrant. The next sound of iron feet walking down the street could be Roman soldiers to get them. The next knock on the door could be the temple guard coming to rid Jerusalem of some more heretics. Amen. So most of the disciples were hiding. Let me inject this morning. One reason Jesus walked with the two men on the road to Emmaus was at least they was doing something. They got out of hiding and walked. And Jesus had somebody to walk with. I tell you what you need to do this morning. No matter how low down you might feel, you need to rise up from where you are and begin to put one foot in front of the other and walk. Hallelujah. Rise and walk and let Jesus walk with you, and pretty soon you'll be running. Praise God. Pretty soon he will have reversed circumstances. And you will have outlasted the affliction and the attack of the devil. Amen. Oh, it could have been so much different this morning. For some that have been among us, stood behind this pulpit and preached under the anointing of God. If they, when their world fell apart, had it just held on to God and had not become bitter, but it became bitter against God. They become bitter against holiness folks that helped them to pay their bills all the way. This morning, they're not going to church anywhere because they gave up in the time of trial. Don't give up. It's to your credit to hold to God's unchanging hand like Job. It's to your credit, amen, to say, self, encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. When nobody else is encouraging you, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And Job said, Those skin worms destroy my body. Yet in this flesh, I shall see God, and I shall behold Him for myself and not another. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He shall stand at the last day upon the earth. Praise God. He's coming. He's closer to you in your hour of trial than you think this morning. Amen. Good people, godly people, need to hold on to God. Backsliders need to come back to God. Say, Brother Collins, what did you do in your trial in those dark, dark days of your youth? I drew closer to God. I buried myself in the church and the work of God. And you know what? That's just exactly what God wanted me to do all the time. He wanted me to give my life to God. And if I hadn't gone through hard places and difficult trials, I probably wouldn't have been here this morning and probably wouldn't have been as good a shape as I am today, rejoicing in His power and His resurrection. But I can tell you that God can bring you out. God can turn it around. Amen. God can give you victory. Amen. Would you like to wake up to a better day tomorrow? Give your life to God today, and you will. Bury yourself in the work of God. Get wrapped up, tangled up, tied all up in Jesus. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in God. Hallelujah. What a blessing will come to you as you do that today. Amen. They run all the way back to Jerusalem. They made it in record time. They broke the news to the disciples. He's alive. We saw Him too. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, someday our work will be over and my journey for Him will be through. And I'll climb yonder's hilltop to meet Him. Oh, I don't want to miss it. Do you? Oh, I wouldn't miss it for nothing. No matter what I have to go through. Did you hear that? Ah, oh, someday I'll lay down my burden. Stand with me. I don't want to miss it. Do you? Sure, sometimes I tire on my journey and I can't seem to find Him. That's true. But I know He's waiting up yonder, Lord, and I don't want to miss it. To you, the altar's open. Oh, I would miss it for nothing. Ah, no matter what I have to go through. Ah, someday I'll lay down my burden. Oh, I don't want to miss it. Do you?